up. I want my co-host to make a comment or however you want. I'm going to go get coffee. Go ahead.
Right. I'm actually going to hold off and wait for my segment of the show before I bring that up, because
we're eating up a lot of your segment.
Well, I understand that, but Parkland's going to be the topic, I think, on everybody's mind, and it has been on Canandaigua 2020, and so I'd like to share some of their thoughts.
Well, now's your chance. Right now, because then we're going to go into our interview.
We actually should go into the interview now.
We're not doing what you want.
Okay, so we're going into
chance right now.
Okay, so we're going into Canandaigua 2020. Okay, be my guest.
See the corporal chevrons right here?
Pulling rank.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome! Enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hectory Motto Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
Can we figure out what the common element here is? It's an attitude, according to this writer. It's a criminal attitude. Period. Instead of asking, how do they get this, or how do we regulate that, or what new law can we create, let's ask why so many kids want to hurt one another. Why do they want to do drugs? Guns have been around for hundreds of years, and the crime rate overall is record lows. We know that. If you look at the Pew Research Institute online, and by the way, they're no friends of gun owners. The last 20 years, their records show that crime has dropped, and that's crime with guns, by the way. Yet young adults and teens are leading the way on new crime, according to this author. Why is the rest of society getting safer while kids and young adults are getting worse? What are we teaching them? What are we not teaching them? These are questions we need to ask. And really, it's not guns. And on the other end of the spectrum is mental illness. We've talked about that. He doesn't even think it's that. He doesn't even think it's drugs. He thinks it's the willingness of these kids to make bad decisions and the unwillingness of adults to teach them any better, which, again, comes back to what Dick was saying. I agree with that. There's a lot of information. By the way, you can share this with your listeners in the future as well about gun-free zones. But this gentleman, Larry Correa, by the way, who is a gun expert, has been for years, although he's a writer, science fiction writer too, he calls them hunting preserves for innocent people. Think about that. A gun-free zone is an innocent preserve.
A hunting preserve,
rather, for innocent people. Yeah, I'd never thought about that. Boy, that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. I heard one of the parents use that term. They hunted their kids.
Yeah.
And I've heard it referred to, gun-free zones are target-rich environments.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, let's eliminate our gun-free zones.
What a way to take the feeling out of shooting little kids, target-rich environment, which, yeah. Not that you brought it up originally. I heard it on the news, and I've heard other people refer to it as even people in a bar setting. I was watching a movie that last night, and that's how they said, well, look, a target-rich environment. Yeah. Nice way to take the humanity out of it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to, Don, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Scope, and Dick Hicks, sir, and for Scope. And if anybody wants to know more about Scope, Don, where would they go?
Our website is ScopeNY, ScopeNY.org.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to have our educators come up to the mic and give us some thought on this. Both Reed Robbins and Armando Marinetti have both lots of experience in educating our children, and they know a little bit. They know a lot about what's what just happened. Gentlemen, I don't know who wants to go first, kind of putting you both on the spot, but I know you guys got a good thought.
I saw something in the paper that relates to what we were just discussing. The title is Student Arrested on Suspicion of School Shooting Plot in California. This was from Thursday morning's Democrat and Chronicle. A security officer reported overhearing a student threaten to open fire at his Southern California high school. Authorities arrested the 17-year-old student at El Camino High School on suspicion of making criminal threats and his adult brother on five weapons charges after two semi-automatic rifles, 90 magazines, and handguns were found in their home. And working in a school environment, it's important for adults to be aware of their surroundings. So I'll just tell you a quick story, and I think everybody listening that is an adult has a little bit of responsibility. I had a student that started showing up to my first morning class 10 to 15 minutes late every morning, and it was a new pattern for him. And there was trouble in the school. He was not getting along with some other students. So it alerted my attention, why is this young man coming to school, my class, first period, late every morning? And I would ask him when he come in, where you been? Oh, I was downstairs, you know, talking to this one. I said, they give you a pass? Because that's the policy. You need a pass to get in the classroom after the doors are locked. And we did lock our doors, okay? No, he didn't give me a pass. He said, just get to class. So after about the third time this happened, I alerted the authorities, the resource officer, as well as the administrators. And I said, he's not coming in my class without a pass, just so you know. And he's a pretty big kid, so if there's trouble, I want you to be aware of it. So one day he comes to the class, my door's locked, starts banging on the door. I said, where's your pass? Because there's glass there. He can show me his pass through the glass. They didn't give me one. I said, go get one. Not coming in. He walks away. Well, come to find out, they searched his locker, and I never saw that student again for the rest of the school year.
Wow.
Rumor has it, because we didn't get any information, that's not really part of the process to inform people. It's usually through channels, you know, somebody knows somebody, secretary saw this, heard this, tells us the teacher tells another teacher. Through channels, they found a pistol in his locker. So,
how long ago was that?
This would have been 2002, school year 2002. So the point I'm trying to make, and Reed, you could probably support this as well, is as adults, we have responsibilities. We have to be aware of our surroundings, and we have to be able to take it to the next level if need be. So you're right, Don. There's too many young people today that don't know right from wrong, And we have the number one rule to end all of this is thou shall not kill. So that's my
two cents. I thought about that the other day. I believe in all the Constitution. I believe in all the amendments and the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's a good way to follow. That's a good way to follow your life.
You're good to go.
Reed Robbins, sir?
Yeah, so to piggyback off of that, murder is already illegal, and so... murder is already illegal, so to change that or to change some of our laws and to ban the weapons is not going to change anything. And as a teacher in the school, you know, unfortunately, a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of times that we've been finding out is that teachers are required to do a lot more than just teach the content. So I'm an eighth grade math teacher, but I'm also, you know, the kids will, you know, they'll refer to me as dad sometimes, you know, because. Oftentimes, you know, teachers or staff will be with the kids more than their own parents. And it's unfortunate. And that doesn't happen all the places, and that doesn't happen all the time. But when you are a teacher, you're concerned for their safety. You're concerned for what's going on in the schools. And it's unfortunate that right now we're looking at teachers being that last line of defense for kids. We're looking at them being there. And so the day one, the kids walk into the school, it's, okay, this is what's happening. This is what you're going to do if this happens. And this is what I'm going to do if this happens. Unfortunately, all I've got is a pencil or a meter stick that I can bust in half to try to do whatever I can to stop these precious children that are in my room from, you know, from being slaughtered. And that's not going to stop. That's not going to change whether or not we ban this gun or that gun. I think rifles are only accounted in 2016 for something like 400 deaths, and it was knives was like 1,500 or something like that. And that's statistics.org, where I got that from. And so when you start thinking about what can we do as teachers, I think we need to go through that and say, look, if this is the situation, you need to not... you know, have these types of jokes because the kids will joke around and they think it's because that's what, you know, if they're playing a video game or if they're listening to their media or if, you know, the songs that they're listening to. And I think we need to start addressing the cultural issues in school. And I think we need to, as parents start and grandparents start addressing, what are you listening to? Let me hear that song. Let's just listen to the lyrics. Let's just read the lyrics out loud. And if you're too embarrassed, or if your child is too embarrassed, or if your child's too embarrassed to read that song to you as a grandparent, or you as a parent, you might want to start thinking about what type of content that they're putting in their heads. And that's as an educator. You know, we can talk about the solutions. I think one of the greatest solutions is to allow individuals who are teachers, staff, who have concealed carry, to be able to carry on campus as a last form of defense. These individuals have license. You can train them. You know, you could partner with the sheriff's office. I'm very sure that the sheriff's office here in Ontario County would allow teachers to come in and train with them on how to respond, and then go through action plans. They don't have to know who's the one carrying. They don't have to know what the plan is. You know, when I'm in the gym and I'm working with kids, my first thought is, okay, this happens. What am I going to do? As well as, you know, are the kids fighting? Is there any bullying problems? You know, all these things are going through your head. If you're an effective teacher, all these things are going through your head. And I think we need to start training our teachers in that direction. We need to start pushing them to be aware. But it's also not necessarily fully their responsibility. We have to put some of this onus back onto the parents and back onto the grandparents, you know, to them too, because if we're not addressing those issues of what's going on within our culture, we're going to lose this battle. We're going to lose this battle with our kids. And it is a battle. It's a, you know, when we talk about a 19-year-old who walks into a building and with the full intent of wreaking havoc, that's a battle zone. And it should not be a battle zone, but we're allowing some of these things to be to go by. So just a couple things.
One thing I should mention,
that's
if you take a look at the roughly a dozen of these individuals that have perpetrated these mass killings, every single one of them should not have passed a NICS check. For what reason? Because there was something in their history that should have triggered a denial. But either the FBI did not have that information, or I won't say that the FBI slipped up on it because of their system. The NICS is pretty secure, I think. The states are not providing the information that's required for the FBI to act promptly at that moment, instantly, and make a denial. And if they do make a denial, perhaps that individual at that store at that time is guilty of a felony and needs to be charged immediately.
Yep. Good point. I want my co-host to make a comment or however you want. I'm going to go get coffee. Go ahead.
Right. I'm actually going to hold off and wait for my segment of the show before I bring that up because we're eating up
a lot of your segments.
Well, I understand that, but Parkland's going to be the topic, I think, on everybody's mind, and it has been on Canandaigua 2020, and so I'd like to share some of their thoughts.
All right. Well, now's your chance. Right now, because then we're going to go into our interview.
We actually should go into the interview now.
We're not doing what you want. We're going to follow my lead. I'm telling you what we're doing.
Okay, so we're going into the
chance right now.
Okay, so we're going into Canandaigua 2020.
I'm not
going
to edit that out.
Okay, be my guest.
You see the corporal chevrons right here?
Pulling rank.
Okay, so this week we had a comment from Stephanie Rudat, who asked if it's time to put armed security in every school in America. And I know a good number of the schools already have armed security in them. And as we heard earlier, apparently there was an issue regarding the school resource officer that was in Parkland, where he may not have acted the way he was trained to act. And again, we're so new into this story, I don't have all the facts, and I don't want to pass judgment on this guy. I mean, he had a long career as a law enforcement officer, and he was apparently outside on the campus in a defensive position when this was going on. But we just heard from Armin of another situation where a school resource officer overheard something and actually probably prevented another shooting. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to have school resource officers in the schools.
Mm-hmm. Here's a policy that somewhere between the first shooting and the last shooting, part of the resource officer is different, but when the local authorities show up, at one point the policy was to wait until they got back up before they went in. That, however, has changed, especially for the resource officer who's supposed to address the attacker immediately. That policy's changed. There's another policy that's changed. They used to want, like a fire drill, all the kids and teachers to go out. But one shooter learned from that and sat out in the parking lot, and someone else pulled the alarm, and so he shot as they went out. So you know that there's differences in the policies. We keep evolving as
right.
They do.
We evolve mm-hmm. as the shooters evolve, mm-hmm. as the situations change, and that's what we should be doing, and we should be addressing these changes. You know, I give a shout-out, too, to Canandaigua Superintendent Jamie Farr. He's fairly new here in Canandaigua. Previously, I think he was at Midlakes. But he said over this school break, which we are currently on, they had spent meetings with law enforcement and other school officials discussing exactly these types of things and going over, you know, what strategies might need to change. Now, this is almost immediately after the shootings occur. So this is a great thing for them to be on top of. And currently, the Canandaigua schools have two school resource officers, and we actually have three campuses. So I think there's probably a need for additional school, at least one additional school resource officer.
One in each school.
Well, at least.
No more of this save the budget, one fireman per house. It's one resource officer in every single school, and that's the way it's got to be.
Mike,
there cannot be any budget cutting, and there shouldn't be any waiting for the government to give us a grant, because that's what happened right down here in our own county, where they had a resource officer, then they had another one, then the government didn't give the budget, so they turned around, they took them back out, and then the budget, they got another grant, they put another resource officer in, but they had to start their policies all over again. So that's it should be part of our school budget. At this point, one resource officer costs as much. Actually, the officers will disagree. They get paid less than a teacher. Mm. So add one per building.
You make a good point, because from what I've read, that this campus in Florida was over 3,000 students, and they had two security. One was a resource officer, but one was unarmed. Still, you think about that, two adults that if something, even a fight, should break out, it doesn't take long for hundreds of students to be involved in a fight, because there's a mob mentality that takes over. So you got to look at the numbers, too, and see, even if they're not on the campus, they should be somewhere in proximity where they can get to the campus quickly. Because 3,000, that's a small little town, 3,000
right.
people.
Right.
I mean, we only have, what, 12,000 in Canandaigua?
10,000.
10,000 in Canandaigua.
Right.
So.
Right. So one-third of Canandaigua was located at that school on that day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
Right. And right. So one resource officer is not too much to ask.
No.
How many kids per teacher are you allowed in a classroom?
Usually it's one teacher per 25, I believe it is. It came down. It used to be 30 at one point, but they've lowered it because it's getting harder for an adult to manage 25 students.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don?
You know, here's a point, Tim. I want to make this very clear. I do not own an AR-15.
Neither do I.
Okay. This isn't about the guns, okay? It is about control, though, and it's about gun bans. You recall the shooting that occurred in 2012, December, in Connecticut, Newtown? Okay. There had been a ban in Connecticut, I'll say for 10 years, prior to that date. It did no good. The bans don't do any good. My point is, I'm not here to fight against gun bans, but I don't agree with them, okay, because they invade our privacy as citizens. What I'm looking for are solutions that will work, such as locking all of the doors but one to a building, one access point, with your resource officer, for example. At least do something.
Right.
Yep. Thank you.
Mike Arger.
Okay. So, moving on, Greg Emerson, he's the Director of Operations at Land of Legend Speedway, formerly known as Canandaigua Motorsports Park, is looking for charitable organizations that they can donate to. He wants to take half the proceeds from the 50-50 sales that they have every week and donate it to local charities. So if you are a local charity, you can contact him at gemerson@landoflegendsraceway.com. We also learned this week that Jordan Fogg was arrested and charged with fraud for a GoFundMe account that was also posted on Canandaigua 2020. She was attempting to raise money for Jimmy Filippello for a new scooter. And she raised over $1,200 on a GoFundMe page. And apparently she kept the vast majority of that money. So she's been charged with fraud. But the good news side of that is that Jimmy was given a brand new scooter courtesy of Miguel Milan of 101 Mobility in Rochester. So he, his son saw this story on the news and said, "Dad, isn't there something we can do to help out?" And Miguel stepped forward and got Jimmy a brand new scooter. So also want to mention March 7th, there's going to be a blood drive at the Canandaigua Fire Department running from 1 to 6 p.m. Happy Tails is going to have a 5K fundraiser at the Bosie Center. Apparently that's no longer called the Bosie Center. It's the Finger Lakes Technology and Career Center out in Stanley. Check-in there is going to be at 9 a.m. Walk is going to take place at 10 a.m. And that's on Saturday, April 28th. Pinnacle North got a thumbs down this week from Taylor Height. He's a tenant there. He's paying $1,300 a month in rent. And he says there's doors there that have been broken for 6 weeks. They've also had broken water lines there that have inconvenienced some of the tenants. And he's not been a happy tenant there. So Pinnacle North is taking some shots there. How's your assessment? Trish Cristoforo, who's a realtor, says her assessment in the town went up by 30% this year. And many other people in the town are also saying that their assessments have gone up quite significantly. So Tom Benedetto said, "Hey, Tom Galsano is running this thing called Tax My Property Fairly. And it's a Facebook group you can join. And there's some other suggestions for ways that properties could be more fairly assessed." Our Greater Canandaigua Civic Center is still looking to do a lighting upgrade free of charge. They're in a competition, and you can go on Canandaigua 2020 and vote for our Civic Center to get a lighting upgrade. And finally, we had a story about Amazing Grace Body Arts. And Amazing Grace Body Arts is located in Geneva. They apparently issued a gift certificate to a gentleman and then refused to honor it for $125 for a tattoo. Okay, and apparently after it was mentioned on Canandaigua 2020, the owners there said, no, we made a mistake. We will honor this gift certificate. And so this young woman, Anna Ballerstein's dad, got in there and got his first tattoo at age 60. And it's a tattoo of a biplane. And he's exceedingly thrilled with the artwork that was done. And so we have a very happy ending there, and we're glad to hear that Canandaigua 2020 was able to make a difference in that case.
Oh, so you almost did like an arbitration, right?
Arbitration, you might say, sure.
Yeah. Hold the camera towards me.
Hold the camera. Oh, I'm going to flip. Hang on.
This is my lesson for older people who want
to
get a tattoo.
There you go.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right.
But you stopped. Hang on. What did I do? I hit something. Okay. You're not moving. See, I told you I'm technologically inept.
I don't know where you the whole show.
All of a sudden you stopped. You know, when I touched the screen, something happened.
You killed the whole show, Armin.
I did want to mention, though, that, you know, Mike, you said that the assessments are going up.
Yep.
But the good news is the rates went down, right? I mean, that's what we heard not too long ago. The rates have gone down. The rates have gone down.
Right.
But if your assessment goes up and the rates have gone down, you do the math, you probably end up paying more.
You think?
Yeah.
That's right. There's two parts to that story. There's assessments and then there's a tax rate.
Yeah, if you see an article in the paper, which many of them are written this way, and they start talking about rates, that's not really the whole story. So be careful. It does sound good that rates have gone down, but if you're multiplying – okay, wait. I'm going to mess this up again.
Just touch the edges.
Touch the edges.
Only the lower edges.
The lower edges. Only.
Lower.
Oh, there.
Right there.
Oh. Whew. All right. So far, so good. Yep.
If you're old and you get a tattoo, I used to go up to my grandpa, who was a merchant marine.
Right.
And he had Popeye on his bicep. And we'd go, "Popeye, show us Popeye." And he'd make Popeye bounce. And then one day, I don't know, I got out of the service. I said, "Grandpa, can I see Popeye again?" "Popeye? I haven't seen him in years." "What? On your arm." "Oh, you want to see Popeye?" And he grabbed his skin. And he went, "You can see all of Popeye." That's my tattoo. That's why I don't have tattoos, because I'm sure it's not going to work out in the future.
Yeah, I I tried to, you know, I have three sons, and
one's kind of fair share.
Yes, yes. The middle guy, he wanted to get a tattoo as soon as he turned 18, and there's 30 years between us, so I was like 48, right? So I said, okay, I'll go with you. I want to get the same tattoo that you get. He looked at me and goes, why would you want to get a tattoo? And I said, because I want you to see how stupid it's going to look when you're my age. He never got a tattoo, but as you know,
Sean,
my youngest one, he's covered.
He likes his tattoos.
It didn't work on him. I tried the same thing. He didn't fall for that.
So we have a gentleman.
We have a guest.
Yay.
Right? Edward.
Come around this way so we can film.
Russ Kenyon. He is a justice for the East Bloomfield town. And more importantly, he's a candidate for Ontario County Judge. So we want to welcome you and try and find out a little bit more about you and why you think the voters should be voting for you for that position.
Sure. Well, thanks an awful lot for having me.
Try to face the camera.
Try to face the camera.
I know it's hard.
See, I told everybody I had a face for radio, so I was excited about the radio interview. Well, I've been the judge in East Bloomfield for a little bit over 2 years now, and I've had the honor of serving the people in East Bloomfield, the town judges, the town courts. They call the courts closest to the people. And all the experience that I've had in 25 years of practicing law here in Ontario County has given me, you know, the opportunity to really be able to serve the people that appear in front of me. As a judge in town court, I've handled countless numbers of vehicle and traffic matters, but I also do arraignments, both felony and misdemeanor arraignments for people that are arrested in my town and in any of the surrounding towns. I've handled several probable cause hearings and suppression hearings for the misdemeanor level cases. Town court handles, from a criminal standpoint, town court handles misdemeanor cases. Misdemeanor cases being anything where the sentence can be up to a year in jail and up to a $1,000 fine. One of the things that I have found is that I very much enjoy being in the middle. I like being the one that listens to both sides. And I have found that I have got the ability to listen. And a lot of times, that's what people want. They want to be heard, and then they're okay with the decision that gets made, as long as they get to be heard, as long as they get to tell their story. So from a judge standpoint, I've had DWI trials. I've had a lot of different trials that I've presided over where I am able to listen to both sides, both the prosecution and the defense, and then make a decision. One way or the other, depending on what the facts, what the circumstances, and what the law says. So I have found that I very much enjoy being that person, and I think, I know that as a county court judge, I would be able to take those same qualities, the ability to listen, the ability to apply the law, the ability to apply common sense that I've gathered over my 25-year experience practicing law here in Ontario County. So that's where I'm coming from. That's who I am. That's what I do. I have lived in Ontario County for just over 40 years. We moved here when I was 9 years old and went to school here, got married here, raising a family here.
So you said you've been practicing law?
Yes.
So you're a lawyer?
I'm an attorney, yep. The county court judges have to be attorneys. The only judges in the country that don't have to be lawyers are town judges or justices of the peace, JPs, yeah, and the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seems
a little odd, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can understand JPs and town judges.
Sure.
So do you get that call early in the morning? You got to come in and make a decision? Or
It's very nice. Ontario County has a system now where anybody arrested after 10 o'clock at night is taken to the county jail. And they're held until the next morning. And right now, Judge Aronson, the Canandaigua City Court judge, goes out to the jail every single morning and arraigns people that have gotten arrested over the night. So we don't get calls after 10 o'clock at night, which is kind of nice.
So if you get arrested after 10, you're going to sit there until...
You're going to sit there until... Well, Judge Aronson is an early riser. He always has been. I've known him for just about 40 years that I've lived here. He's out there by 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning to do the arraignments at that point. Another great thing about Ontario County is that there is a public defender at every arraignment. The arraignment is really the first contact that a defendant has with the system, and the courts have determined that it's important for them to have representation at all stages of the legal proceedings. In Ontario County, we have a public defender come to every single arraignment, whether it's in my court or whether it's Judge Aronson doing the arraignment out at the jail. When you have a defendant whose rights are protected from the very beginning, that is more assurance that the process itself will be done appropriately and, you know, will hold up at the end of the process, whatever the result may be. So it's important that the defendant's constitutional rights are protected from the very beginning so that there's no grounds for successful appeal later on if the appeal is based on a failure to provide representation kind of thing.
That's good. Yeah. So under your, if you were elected judge in front of Ontario County, right? Okay. Would you do anything different or, I mean, I know you guys don't speak politically.
It's very interesting being a judicial candidate, and it's also interesting being a sitting judge. Now, what I mean by that is as a sitting judge, I'm not permitted to talk about any pending cases, whether they're pending cases in front of me or pending cases anywhere else in the country. As a judicial candidate, I'm not permitted to make promises. I'm not permitted to talk about what I will do in certain circumstances. But what I can say is that I will continue to judge as I judge now, and that's impartially, and that's thoroughly, making sure that I'm up to speed on every single case that appears in front of me, making sure that I hear both sides of the story, and making sure that the decisions that I make are based on everything that I hear, what the law provides, and what the law allows. So unlike other judicial candidates where I can sit up and say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, I'll tell you that I'm going to do what I've been doing, and that's acting as a very good judge, listening to the stories, applying the law, making decisions based on the facts and the law.
How many times have you been voted in where you are now?
I've been voted in one time.
One time.
Right, 2 years.
Yep.
But for the last 20 or so years, you've actually been in business with your own law firm, correct?
Sure.
And that's Kenyon & Kenyon here in Canandaigua, and you actually work with another Kenyon who happens to be your father.
Yes.
How do you like working with your dad?
It's great. It really is. And my mom is my office manager.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's Kenyon Kenyon, and then if you want to throw a parenthesis around another Kenyon, it's I often joke that I've threatened to start a support program for kids that work with their parents. And I was just thinking about this the other day. I started with other people my age working with their parents that were my dad's age. Now I'm meeting people that are starting to work with their parents who are a lot closer to my age than they are to their age. So I'm starting to get the other end of the
right.
spectrum.
Yeah.
I graduated from law school in 93, and I came back here to Canandaigua and started working with my dad. And I've been with him ever since. It's been great because he is an absolutely top-notch guy. I've learned a lot from him. And I like working in a small firm. I like working in a small community, and I like working with the people that I've worked with.
Okay, but you're going to have to give up that job, right? If you get this position as Ontario County Judge, you can't be a judge and have your own law firm, correct?
That's correct.
Is that financially worthwhile doing that? I hate to ask that question, but it drives me. You know, when you see these guys who give up their law firm, which you got to figure is lucrative, you know, or at least beneficial to you, and then you give it up to be a judge, I mean, does that, or is it all about getting that experience and then coming back to law?
I think it depends a lot on what part of the state that you're in. When I got out of law school, I looked at a bunch of different places I could have gone, and if I were to go to a big firm in New York City, I could have made three, four times what I started making when I got out of law school here with my dad. But my life would have been significantly different. I had some friends from law school that went to work for big firms, and one of my friends in one particular month was telling me, I had 270 billable hours this month, and I took 4 days off. So he's billing 10 hours a day every single day for that entire month. I didn't want that kind of life. I wanted to be able to enjoy, you know, the Canandaigua area. When I got out of law school, I started officiating swimming and diving, high school swimming and diving. So I would leave work, you know, a little bit early on Tuesdays and Thursdays to go do the swimming and diving meets. I was a youth soccer coach. My wife and I, after we got married, lived at Bristol Mountain for a little while, and I grew up as a ski racer and was on the ski school, and I was a ski racing coach. So financially, I wasn't making what my friends in the big firms were making, but from an overall life, my quality of life was fantastic. This area is fantastic for quality of life. There's so much to do around here.
And those sports that you played growing up, mm-hmm. that I am sure influenced your life and your ability to, as a coach, listen to people, hear what they're really saying, give out advice that matters. You know, if more of our kids would play sports, I think that they would be more responsible. They would be able to make a definitive choice in things. I believe it's very important that you did all that.
There's a really neat thing going around on Facebook and the internet, and it talks about, you know, is your kid a superstar athlete? Yeah, that's great if he is. But is your kid a coachable athlete? Is he able to listen to criticism? Is he able to make changes? Is he able to hear your suggestions? Because that's a skill, you know, that's a life skill. You guys know as well as I do that the ability to interact with people, the ability to listen to what people are saying, the ability to make changes when your boss is telling you got to make a change, or a coworker is telling you got to make a change, or a customer comes in and says, hey, I'd like you to do this or do that. You know, if you're just a superstar athlete who walks in and says the world revolves around me, you can't tell me what to do, what the heck do you know? It makes your life a little bit tougher later on. But the ability to... One of the neat things I think about the coaching and officiating that I've done is I love working with the kids. Absolutely love working with the kids. And I've worked with kids that were 8-9 year old kids, and I'm working now with high school age kids. A whole lot of fun. But working with the parents is interesting as well. And working as an official, sometimes the spectators get a little bit unruly, and you have to, you know, a couple times. So that has taught me some skills in how to de-escalate a situation, and that's helped me in court.
Absolutely.
I've had situations where I've been able to kind of just take a step back, bring the energy down in the room a little bit, and diffuse a touchy situation.
So question, and then we
all right. So I've always known you as Russ Kenyon. Okay, but my understanding is that you won't appear on the ballot as Russ Kenyon. Is that correct?
My legal name is Edward Charles Kenyon. When I ran in East Bloomfield, I had Russ on there in parentheses. I don't think you're allowed to have quotes. I think of Randy Cool wasn't Randy, so he had the quotes. To make a very long story somewhat bearable, I was going to be called Randall Scott before I was born. Randall's a family name, and then I think every other kid born in the 60s, late 60s, was named Scotty. But right before I was born, my grandfather was killed in a car accident, so my parents wanted to name me after both of the grandfathers. But at the same time, my dad didn't like my mom's dad's name. My mom didn't like my dad's mom's name. My mom won that battle because Edward is my mom's dad's name, but my dad's college nickname was Russ, and they kept asking him and my mom, when are you going to have any little Russes? So, and a little Russ, so they decided they'd name me Edward Charles, but they'd call me Russ. So before I was born, I've been known as Russ, which does make it easy to tell sometimes who your friends are. When somebody calls and says, hey, Ed, how are you? How are things? I know they have no idea.
Right. You know, it's funny you should say that, because I found my baby book once when I was almost graduated high school, and I saw the name that they debated over, and I said to them, I said, this was going to, this, how did you not do that to me? They said, well, we were going to, same thing, we were going to name you after one of the grandpas, but they couldn't decide between Francis and Morris, so it would have been Francis Morris Thornton. And so I said, so you were going to pick Aloysius? And they go, my dad goes, I stuck up for you, and now you're Timothy Michael. And I go, thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad.
Francis Morris Aloysius? Oh, my God. What do parents think when they're naming their kids?
Well,
they want to do something. You know, we're not memorials. I mean, you are now, right?
Yeah.
So,
Russ, we want to wish you the best of luck in your campaign.
Thank you.
And, you know, the primary, do you have a date for that yet?
The primary is, if you look at the way it's supposed to fall, it should be September 11th.
Right.
They haven't released the official calendar. Everybody is speculating that they're going to move it to the 13th of, of September.
Okay.
So will we be voting for our judges and sheriffs at the same time?
Yes.
In the primary, yes.
Reed
right. says yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like there will be a, you know, my race, there's another candidate, so there should be a primary there, and the sheriff's race looks like there will be a primary there as well.
Yeah. Even though it doesn't matter, you're running under a political party, right?
Yes. I mean, the system
I know.
Is that way.
You should not have to even say a political party. Which party is it?
The Republican Party.
Okay. Is there any Democrats running?
Haven't heard yet. Have heard...
Reed shaking me off like a fastball. All right, great. Well, I'm really glad. I mean, I've met you before. I think you're a great guy.
Thanks.
And look forward to future things for you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on, guys.
And do you have a Facebook page or any way to get
I do. Judge Kenyon for County Court on Facebook.
Very awesome. Good.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Anybody got one last minute? Anybody's?
Okay, so we want to thank everybody. We want to thank everyone for tuning in and turning on.
You need to fill time, or are we good with
no, that? No, I'm sure we're.
And I'll be quick.
We got time. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Reed.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Armin. Right. Thanks, Mike.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Mr. Kenyon.
Perfect.
Or Judge Kenyon.
So.
I'm that guy that when I show up for court.
When you hear the phrase boots on the ground, that phrase means our men and women that are in the American Armed Forces. And that means they're ready to fight. They wear the very best gear America has to offer. I'm talking the very best in leather, Gore-Tex, Thinsulate, three-layer Vibram soles, Nomex, side zippers, and stitching. Quality that the civilian market can't even come close to offering. When you say quality, you want U.S. government issue. Iron Mike's is the leading distributor for military government contractors. They offer jump boots, Mickey boots, jungle boots, SWAT boots, sniper boots, steel toe, Navy deck boots, and Marine Corps and Army desert boots. Corafram low quarter shoes, mucklucks, extreme cold weather, and lightweight tactical boots in 6, 8, and 10 inches. Iron Mike's takes trade-ins of all your old military boots. Iron Mike's is located at 2485 State Route 332 in Canandaigua. Check us out online at ironmikes.co.
Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, Red, White, and Blue, the A flag, the American flag, the flag that has flown above every rooftop to guide on, battleships, camps, forts, and fops. The American flag bears the crimson color of blood that has kept our flag as pure as the white bars that flank the blue field of honor. The Military Exchange is proud to present Valley Forge American-made flags. 100% American-made, real issue. We sell flags by the military branch, unit, or division. Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, National Guard, Marine Corps. We sell flag poles, mounts, and display cases. Show your pride. Display your branch proudly with a flag from Valley Forge. The Gadsden, Don't Tread on Me flag and decals. Perfect for the conservative New Yorker. Join the military culture that is the Military Exchange. Located in Canandaigua, New York, check out our weekly video broadcast of our radio show at IronMikesMX.com. Hello, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, the owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Over the past 20 years, I have personally searched out vintage clothing, uniforms, antiques. I like to collect all things military. I am just now willing to let go parts of my collection. We have a line of hand-picked vintage collectibles, World War I to present day. Vintage is a great way to give yourself a unique look. Ladies and gentlemen, add a little vintage to your wardrobe. What I like about vintage is the quality of material. Cotton, wool, leather, all at its very best. Different texture, design, and old school patterns that fit the way they should fit on a man or woman. The Military Exchange is your home for vintage clothing and collectibles. For your viewing pleasure, please go to my website, IronMikesMX.com, and see our video and pictures of vintage collectibles.
I came home on leave and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
But anyway, we're talking about 6, 7, 8. Should I tell, read my corny joke?
No.
No.
We're live on the air.
We're live on the air.
Well, it will be if you let me talk.
He's doing a Facebook thing.
This is Facebook Live, Canandaigua 1310, three men and a mic. We already got four guys here. We will have Scope, we'll have the judge, and...
No. Oh, yeah, I guess he is a judge, yeah, but he's running for Ontario County Judge. He's currently... That's okay.
You're killing me today. Anyways, here's the live show. I'm going to prop the camera up. We don't have a videographer today. She had to work overtime.
She's a nurse who was called in to work.
What are you, St. Freaking Michael?
Yes.
Saint, are you offended by every freaking thing? Here, there's Mike Gerger, the saint himself who thinks he's got the bleeding heart for everybody. Quite a different show, and Melissa's not here. Sorry, Melissa, I know you're a nurse. You probably got your hand around a heart right now and a stem trying to fix it yourself. That's what Mike would think. Here.
What do you want me to do?
Hold it so I can get the show started.
Right now I'm breaking out in hives because I'm not tech savvy. You know, I've got...
Because
you're supposed to be pointing this at your face.
Not me. I'm not...
Yeah.
I don't want to be
on. You're the one
no.
on camera.
No,
you're the one talking.
You on there. No, I don't want to be on. You guys be on. So, now what I see is what's on. It says live, too. Oh, boy. Smile. Yeah.
There's Reed Robbins. He's coming on.
How you doing?
Reed's our guest this morning. He's from the Rochester City School District, but more importantly, Ontario County Conservative Party.
That's right.
All right. Alright, so, who's going to handle this thing?
Don't worry, I'll do it all myself here, Mike. Mike, make sure he had his mic on.
I can hear computers
well,
being turned off.
I don't know that it's on, I know that it's
place.
Here.
See, this to me is too much...
technology?
Yeah, too much
here,
technology.
Let me see if I can... Alright. I'll try to hold it for people. This would be fun.
I like looking at people face to face, not through a... prism.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to Canandaigua 1310, three men and a mic, and this is, I pretty much just said what it is.
Yeah, you did.
This is Civil War Radio.
Oh, that's right. This is Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti, and we have a special guest called, his name is, you know what, I'm just going to start over. Mike really got me under my skin.
He's still steaming. Got the blood boiling.
Welcome to WOKR 1310, Three Men and a Mic, and this is Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti and our special guest, Reed Robbins from the Conservative Committee, also an educator like our Armin Marinetti, and, of course, there it was, supposed to be filming it, and Mike Yarger from Canandaigua 2020, the saint himself, the defender of anybody who's not here, Mike Yarger. And here comes the boys from Scope. They're coming in the door, and they'll be on in about 20 minutes.
We were raised by wolves, and we are still wild. And we howl when the troubled wind blows. And in the TV's blue light, poor assassins will lie. Every whale just a going down slow. So don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And all the people you meet down in the streets may be good, but they don't want to know. So they cover their eyes for who wants to be sad. Life is sweet at the bottom of the sea. And don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. Mothers will cry, fathers stay up all night with a worry that goes to the bones. And if your God makes war, then he's no God I know, 'cause Christ would not send boys to die. And don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And don't you get low as hell when a peace dove is felled by a man with the blackest of minds. And above the din, let the sighing begin, as we're bound for the longest of days. So don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. Tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York, militaryexchange.co.
This has been a Combat Radio production of Three Men and a Microphone. Check us out every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on WOKR 1310, and our encore performance every Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4 p.m. And I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts, Armin Marinetti, Civil War Radio, Melissa Walker, our videographer, and from Canandaigua, Facebook 2020, Mike Yarker. And I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, and thank you for listening to our show, and we'll see you on the flip side, and be good.